Welcome to the Membership Machine Show, talking you through your membership website from initial idea all the way to finished product. Here's your host, Jonathan Denwood.
Welcome back, folks, to the Membership Machine Show. This is episode 31. In this show, we're going to be discussing podcasting, some of the best platforms that you can utilize to get into podcasting, and just the general idea why running a podcast is a great way in building audience for your membership website and building your community in general. I've got my co-host Spencer Forum with me. He's recovering. He looks a lot better this week. He's had a bit of a month of ups and downs.
Worst May ever.
No, and you had to put up with me last week as well. That was killed you, didn't it? You needed extra painkillers after that episode.
Oh my God.
So there we go. But it should be a great show. We're going to be looking at Buzzsprout, Podbean, Castos. There's a load of the platforms, but they've got their strengths and weaknesses. And we'll be giving you some insights about why you should consider podcasting. I think it's fab. I do a lot of it. But before we go into the meat and potatoes of this show, I've got a couple of messages from our major sponsors. We'll be back in a few moments, folks.
Are you looking for ways to make your content more engaging? Sensei LMS by Automattic is the original WordPress solution for creating and selling online courses. Sensei's new interactive blocks can be added to any WordPress page or post. For example, interactive videos let you pause videos and display quizzes, lead generation forms, surveys, and more. For a 20% off discount for the tribe, just use the code WPTonic, all one word, when checking out and give Sensei a try today.
Hi there, folks. It's Jonathan Denwood here, and I want to tell you about one of our great sponsors, and that's Zolo.com. If you've got a WordPress website, a membership website, and you're looking to link it with a great financial management package, Zolo can provide this solution. So all your bookkeeping needs are done through Zolo. If you need new inbox email functionality and you don't want to pay the high charges that Google will charge you, Zolo offers a great email inbox platform. They've got over 50 apps and services that all integrate fantastic with WordPress at great value levels, and they almost always offer a fully functioning free product as well. So it's just amazing value. Also, if you're a WordPress developer or agency owner, Zolo are looking for great partnerships in the WordPress space. To get all this information, all you have to do, folks, is just go over to Zolo.com, and they have the products that you're looking for. Thank you so much, Zolo, for supporting WP Tonic and the Machine Membership shows. It's much appreciated. We're coming back, folks. I just want to point out that we've got some great special deals from our major sponsors. One of them is LaunchFlows. You should really look at that product. Also, we've got a curated list of all the leading WordPress plugins that can help you build a fabulous membership website, so you don't have to spend ages trawling the internet trying to find the right solutions and getting very confused. It's all there for you. To find all these goodies, all you have to do is go over to WPTonic/deals, and you'll find all the goodies there, folks. So I don't know how we're going to approach this, Spencer. Do you think we should just have a general discussion why podcasting is...
I think because these are, in fairness, there's a whole bunch of tools available to do the job, but to be fair, we know what you're using. We know what I prefer. And it's not necessarily that it has anything to do with these are bad. It just means it's like we should just discuss the general ideas and then we can review some of the features. But
yeah, I think in the second. There are some key differences in what these platforms are offering. I did a big deep dive over the last couple of days, and the offering and what some of these platforms are offering, there are some major things that the audience needs to know, but I think we can do that in the second half of the show, in this show. So do you want me to start off why I think podcasting is a great idea, or do you want to
go ahead?
I think, like most things, Spencer, it's around your background. I think there's the general reasons why it's really good, and I am going to cover that, but I just want to give some why I like podcasting. And I think I'm a dyslexic. I educated myself through radio in the UK, through the BBC, through Radio 4, which is the news and drama and interview leading radio station in the BBC. And I kind of was an avid listener to that radio station as a child. And it really kind of educated me listening to that radio station, to Desert Island Discs, which was an interview show where celebrities and people of public interest would go on, and they would be asked what were some of 8 or 9 of their favourite songs or music, and they would discuss it, and they would discuss other topics. So I've got a great affinity to radio. So when podcasting came on my radar, because I'm dyslexic, and plus my background, my love of radio, I kind of fell into it, and I do love it. But I think it's like WordPress being open source. I think that podcasting is still reasonably open. I obviously, unless you've got a large audience on some other platform, if you're going to get any success in podcasting, you've really got to find a niche. Like I say, unless you're talking about some subject that suddenly becomes much more of interest to the general public, example, artificial intelligence, or maybe you got a specialist in viruses, so and you got something to say about the pandemic, that kind of instance, you're probably not going to make a fortune, but you probably could do reasonably well if in a niche, if you can build your influence. And one of the major tools, I feel, is podcasting. And this applies to membership. If you're building a membership website or a community-based membership website, it's, I think, in the age of artificial intelligence, having community and building community around yourself and your brand is going to become even more important. Right. Because I feel that Google's going to look at your content, and they're going to, if you can add video, if you can add a podcast to the content, if they can see that you are active in the subject through video, through podcasting, it will give the written content that you're producing more credos to Google and to the general community that you're trying to influence. So there's some of the outline why I think podcasting is such a great idea. What are some of your thoughts about what I've just outlined, Spencer?
Yeah, I mean, I think we all have to be aware of what the reality is around us with A, infinite amounts of content. B, everybody under the sun is able to create content, both audio, visual, and the hybrid. C, that AI is starting to generate content and slicing and dicing stuff. So some of the new services will take like a podcaster's audio track and it'll slice and dice it into 17 different social media formats, including, you know, animations or, you know, background images of other people. And so what I think people should be aware of is that the concept of providing niche content is as strong as ever as part of a relationship building exercise, because that's about the only thing we've got as human beings that differentiate us from other human beings and the AI. But you're now competing in a space where everybody has access, whereas in the old days, access was the gatekeeper's purview, right? And so don't for a minute make the mistake of looking at something that was, you know, relevant 4 years ago and think that that's relevant today. You have to look at what's relevant 4 minutes ago. For real. I mean, but the consistency of that means there's power for people who want to interact with it. Why? Like a snow globe that sits on the shelf. It's always the same until one day somebody picks it up and shakes it. And then everything lands differently. We're in that snow globe moment. So whether you're young or old, it doesn't make a difference. You've got the advantage if you're interested in participating with the technology and taking what it is that's unique about you, you can now actually have a better chance than you could before of finding a matching group of people that will be your audience, because they're equally lost. They're like, everything I knew has now changed. Is there some guiding light in the form of a human being who can show me the way? Ta-da. Whether it be, in our case, like we're Gen X and above, or whether it be you're younger and you have your own crowd, you have to find your audience, apply the thing that makes you unique as a person along with the content, and use a tool that matches. So, you know, again, podcasts by themselves, I love them. I love listening to audiobooks. In fact, I have two free readers or listeners for those. Like, you can borrow audiobooks from the library. You know, one's Libby and one's called Hoopla. But 10 trillion things to listen to. And even though now I'm actually able to walk around and listen to it, I've listened to two or three audiobooks, it's very hard to pick what to listen to. So don't think for a second just because you make it, they're going to show up. They're not. You have to make it, market it, and make sure that it's very focused to certain people with, and I would add one last thing, with a paid outcome. I honestly have to say, do not bother trying to become a podcaster or a YouTuber or any social media person unless you've already got a path to selling something.
Yeah, I would agree.
Why bother? It's better off just sitting at home.
Well, if you want to build, what the only caveat I would put on that is if you're utilizing it to build a community and you're planning to sell information, courses, membership to that audience. Because we've discussed this before. It's one of the main factors that people entering the membership, because I think it's a great way of building a side hustle that can become a full-time business.
Correct.
Is they totally get sucked in to the technology, either WordPress technology. When they get sucked into WordPress technology, it's even worse in some ways because there is so much choice. But they can also get sucked in to spending months trying to find this unicorn, legendary, perfect SaaS-based platform that will be able to build their course and market for themselves and do everything in just one click of a button, which doesn't exist and probably never will exist. Because I think, obviously, building a course and taking the subscriptions and everything, it's a lot more easier than it used to be. There are more elements that you are expected to do to have a successful community membership website. But the one thing that's got harder, or always, it's probably got a bit harder, but it's always has been harder, is building that community, that influence, that group of people online that care about what you say and why they would buy a course. Pardon?
That's the part that's certainly evolving. And by the way, sorry for my movement, but I can't sit for more than a couple minutes at a time with my herniated disc thing. But you know, the idea is we're using the same tool set, we're using the same concepts. But there was a time when it was novel. Like, oh, this guy's got his own podcast. He must be a genius. Now it's like, you know, somebody's dog has a podcast. It's just you have to be. Well, it's true though. Like, look at the numbers. Look at how
many people. There's.
It doesn't take away from it at all. It just has to do with, like, let me use video as an example. I got into online space because my love of videography and photography at a time back in, truthfully, 1999, when the video camera's on your shoulder, and then they first started coming out with small stuff, and I wanted to do flying videos from a machine I flew called a trike. And I'm saying, like, the access to the equipment, the access to hosting before YouTube. I remember literally when YouTube came out, I was like, amazing. But just to make a little postage stamp video was it's like $10,000 of stuff to make a postage stamp video. The gatekeeping of the equipment, of the technology, of the knowledge, it's all gone. It's gone. Everybody can make studio quality stuff. And we've seen, this is what's ironic, there are certain YouTubers and podcasters and social media. They're just a kid from Omaha, Nebraska that has 50 million followers. Like NBC used to, you know, kill themselves to get 150,000 people to show up for, you know, Friends episode or something. So that's ridiculous.
In podcasting, a lot of people enter it and they pod fade. On this particular show, it's a newer show, but we already got up to over 30 episodes. But my Allah, I'm getting close to 800 episodes, and I've been doing it for almost 8 years. I think that gives me a lot of credence in the WordPress space, because I've just outlasted almost all the competition, apart from a couple of other very committed individuals. In technology and expense, it has greatly reduced, but video and doing a podcast and getting it edited and doing the research and just turning up week in, week turning out. There's a lot more work than most people, like most things, like running a membership website, like running a WordPress agency or anything.
I mean, let's talk about that point. We share a benefit to our listeners, which is demonstrably it's only 18 years later and we're overnight successes. Now, we may not be on the scale of, like, you know, PewDiePie or Mr. Beast, but, like, it's amazing to me, because I remember, like, yesterday when I shifted from, because of my circumstances in life and business, when I shifted from my real estate development stuff, I had my, you know, the single dad of three young boys, I had to do this weird thing of doing online courses and teaching people how to build WordPress sites to sell stuff to business. It was like early campfire days of WordPress, right? Like, it was Matt and Mike Little and five other people. And then there's this Curious George guy, Spence, that started banging around a year after they started. Well, flash forward, and I met you a couple of years after that, but, like, flash forward and look at the hell's happened, right? So showing up and making content for that niche, for that purpose, is something that you and I consistently have shared. You've been doing your thing consistently, and I've been doing mine in parallel. That's the thing where the access to the tools and the low bridge or bar to entry differentiate, because in the old days, you had to commit to such a big investment of time and money that you weren't going to give it up as easily. But nowadays, everybody can push a button and become a podcaster for two episodes or three episodes or four. But also, there's now 9 trillion people making podcasts, whereas in those days, there was 5 people. And I think that's also something to be weighed out in terms of where your motivation is.
I totally understand. And I think about 90% of what you just outlined, I agree. I just think it's slightly a little bit more difficult. So there is still a much reduced bar of entry. But I still think when it comes to video, I think when it comes to podcasting, like all open platforms, it's based on RSS, which is a feed, and you've got to get your head around, and these podcasting hosting platforms help you with the RSS feed. It's a bit clunky, but on the other hand, it's a lot easier to get it all set up if you utilize one of the platforms that we're going to be discussing in the second half of the show. You also got to set up your account with Apple. I've got to tell you, I've on my other show, Spencer, I've got a troll that's been posting very unpleasant comments. And
it's not me.
No, you shouldn't be. That would be very ungenerous of you. I've got a troll. Posting, you can't please everybody, and he's very unhappy. So
you're doing a bad job if you pleased everybody.
Yeah, it would be impossible.
I really think so.
All you got to do is try and be fair to people. Well, you don't have to, but if you want to look yourself in the mirror at the end of your life, you should attempt it. So I had to try and contact Apple. They've got a specific way they can remove very unfair comments about your podcast and that. What a godforsaken system it is Apple have got.
Well, Apple's very one-directional versus other companies. You know, like surprisingly, Facebook is actually very responsive when people do naughty stuff. Apple's not, which I find really ironic. Like, there's a lot of fraud on Facebook. So if you have, like, my sister's a public media person, she gets people faking her page, her profile, all like 10 times a week. And it's just, you just go fake impersonation, boom, it's gone, because they realize the problem. Apple.
So you never said that. You got a sister. Have you got any other brothers and sisters?
I have one sister who's very, very dear to me, and she's been very helpful for being my advocate through all this drama and stuff. But I don't have any other siblings. I have three sons that I'm aware of.
God help her.
I don't know my other children yet, but the statute of limitations seems to be running out on that. So I think I'm pretty good on
this. All I've got to say is she must be a saint.
She is a saint.
Yeah, she's got to be. There we go. But unfortunately, podcasting it's broadened out with Google Player. Google Player, these are quasar platforms that distribute your podcasts outwards, and because most people that are going to listen to your podcast are going to listen to it on an app, and right. Two of the dominant players are iTunes with their podcast player, mm-hmm. and then on the Android you got Google Player. Neither of them are the best podcast players. There's a lot of third party players.
You know which one apps. I use?
Go on, tell us.
Pocket Casts.
Yeah, that's the one I use.
I mean, the weird thing about it is, like, I used to use Apple and whatever, but, like, at the end of the day, I mean, I saw that thing come out. I think that's owned by Automattic, which is... Strangely not encumbered by forcing me to use Jetpack or something. So, as a podcast player, I really like how simple it is and clean, and it actually does follow the spirit of open source with no gimmicks.
Yeah. One of the other biggest players, folks... which is very controversial because I think they have attempted, and I think to some degree it's failed. I'm not sure if they're still in pursuit of total podcasting dominance, and that is Spotify. Now, Spotify is a I utilize it's Spotify
Scandinavian for the movie, isn't it?
Yes, based in Sweden, one of the biggest Swedish companies on the Swedish stock exchange, I think. Fantastic in music, controversial in music, but extremely controversial in podcasting because they have bought a couple of the leading podcast hosting platforms, but they've also bought popular talent. And then you can only access that podcasting talent if you listen through Spotify. And would you agree that they've been entirely successful? I still think it's a pretty open landscape, but they have attempted to take over the thing. But I think because of iTunes and Google, I think that was going to be extremely difficult for them. What do you think about that, Spence?
Well, so like before Spotify, there was satellite radio. I can't remember if it was Sirius or XM. Yeah. They bought Howard Stern, right? So when he went, I used to enjoy listening to him for the campiness of it when he was on radio and so forth. And he'd be on YouTube videos, little snippets here and there. But once they bought him, you know, that pretty much took him off of the radar of a lot of people who weren't sitting in their car all day long because it just wasn't worth spending essentially whatever the number was, 50, 60 bucks or something for just that. Now, I think Joe Rogan, Michelle Obama, a couple other people are famously under the financial buyout of Spotify. I think they spent $1 billion or something on like talent, literally. Joe Rogan, I think it was like $100 million himself. Bottom line, I don't have a problem with that because the business model makes sense, but there's so much content. And then like Joe Rogan still has all of his clips end up as YouTube shorts and this and that and this and that and this and that. And it's very difficult for me in a world. And I want to use another metaphor here. Remember we've talked in the past how like in a membership economy with, let's say, video, we used to have cable TV and it was like, oh, 90 to 150 bucks a month for all the crap smashed together. But then it was so awesome because you could get the stuff a la carte. Like I could just get Netflix or I could just get Disney Plus. But the problem now is these greedy marketing executives have gone all the way back full circle. So now I have $170 worth of a la carte stuff. And it's like now I'm pushing back to go to like one of those modern versions of Napster, which there's like, I won't name the names, but there's like online services that connect streaming right to your TV to just get the shit for free. Like, for example, I pay for Prime and Hulu and Disney Plus. I pay for every one of them, but I don't have Paramount. Now, there's a new show on called The Offer, which is like Miles Teller. It's like a docudrama about the making of the Godfather movie. Mm-hmm. And it looks awesome. Those greedy mother effers want to charge $3 extra per episode to watch this. I'm already paying for, I pay for Apple TV and Prime. And it's like enough.
I don't watch any American television. All I watch is YouTube.
See what I'm saying? I'm saying like that's the problem with the Spotify. That's the problem. Like they are digging their own grave in a world of plenty where any of us can now. Napster was like funny how rough that was. Any of us can just go online and get anything anytime you want. When you force honest people into feeling like schmucks because you've charged them too much, you're undoing your own business model. And I think you can see that, like, for example, Joe Rogan is very popular, but he's no longer the top Spotify podcast. Yeah. You know,
it's contradictory. You know, as a broadcaster, it's a contradictory setup. I'm not having a go at him because if I was offered that kind of money, I think anybody would probably take it. But it's contradictory, isn't it? Because as a broadcaster, if you're a general audience broadcaster like him, you want it to be available to the biggest audience possible. But then Spotify, they want to buy your content and put a wall around it because they want to make it more exclusive. So it's contradictory, isn't it?
Overpaid. You see this in the equity markets, you know, the real estate market. Now we're seeing it. Well, I was in the real estate market when the first thing came crashing to the beach. But now you see the same thing, like these, let's call it just greedy equity companies that don't really know the business, don't care, are just trying to take OPM, other people's money, and buy the crap out of it. So like right now, the big problem in the real estate market is all these Airbnb type homes that are not owned by residences themselves, but owned by private equity firms or, you know, bros on YouTube that wanted to make a quick flip. And it's all crashing down or will be because like there's no 1.5% interest mortgages anymore. And people aren't going to rent stuff for $7,500 a day in a world where interest rates are high and the job market is sketchy and so forth. Similarly, they go on, they pay all this crazy money for talent in a world where the choices get infinitely greater and greater. And then they have to justify, like, why is this ship sinking? And they try to like squeeze 6 pennies out of every nickel of every subscriber until the people are like fed up and they say, I'm out of here. And that's where I see this problem lying. In a regular small business, in a regular entrepreneurial endeavor, a small team, people are very aware on the team of when things are working and the relationships are balanced and the customers are happy. When you build these layers of huge conglomerates like a Spotify using OPM from investor money to buy the crap out of stuff at too high a price, things break badly. We saw that in the real estate market, like with Zillow, who famously were just buying up everything at 100 times more than it was worth until somebody said, like, what the hell's wrong with you? Right?
That comes. So I might be wrong here. We're going to go for a break in a second. I might be wrong about Zillow. It's funny that you mentioned, because I've got another business and I do another podcast in that. Business of marketing to real estate agents. And Zillow, the founders, Microsoft executive, made a fortune in the online travel business, and then set up Zillow. And but my understanding, even though it was having gobs of money before it got into property wholesaling, was never making any profit. It never did. It was. So it's bizarre, but it's gone. So I think you're totally right.
Zillow, just to close this and we'll leave. Zillow as a service, I remember I was in the real estate business. Like when the Zillows first came online for the data, it was incredible, amazing. Where Zillow ate its lunch was in 2021, when the stock price was up to $202 and everybody thought they had figured it out. They're using their money, their equity, their everything else to go buy all these houses. But their algorithm, they recognized afterwards, was fundamentally wrong, and they were paying like 400% over market for these houses that then they got stuck with. So now their share price is at $44. I mean, it's not historically that bad.
I know we're going a little bit off topic, but folks, please don't take any financial advice off me. I'm the last person you should take financial advice off. But I would be tempted to short it even at that $41 because I think their problems are just beginning, in my opinion. But I might be wrong.
Of course, when the debt ceiling default and all the other stuff comes in, when you've got the interest rates for bonds at 5 or 6%, and you've got mortgage rates at 7, 7.5%, and you've got people who are not living in the houses and they can't rent them anymore at Airbnb because nobody can afford to pay, like, all of a sudden, where do these go? This is like deja vu, 2008 to 2011 again. I mean, 2008, it's so long ago when this all happened, you know.
So thanks for listening to This Week in Property.
It's real estate talk.
This Week in Property and Real Estate, but we're going to go for our break. And when we come back, folks, we're going to be talking about the Pacific podcast hosting platforms, some of their strengths and weaknesses. We'll be going through all that in the second half of the show, and then we'll have a section where we wrap up everything. And hopefully you got some value. We will be back in a few moments, folks.
Hey, it's Spence from LaunchFlows.com. If you've been looking for a fast and easy way to create powerful sales funnels on WordPress, then look no further than LaunchFlows. In just minutes, you can easily create instant registration, upsells, downsells, order bumps, one-click checkouts, one-time offers, custom thank you pages, and best of all, no coding is required. For as little as $50 per year, you can own and control your entire sales funnel machine with LaunchFlows. Get your copy today.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Lifter LMS, the leading learning management system solution for WordPress. If you or your client are creating any kind of online course, training-based membership website, or any type of e-learning project, Lifter LMS is the most secure, stable, well-supported solution on the market. Go to lifterlms.com and save 20% at checkout with coupon code podcast20. That's podcast20. Enjoy the rest of your show.
We're coming back, folks. We've had a great discussion about why you should look at doing podcasting to generate your community for your membership website. I just want to point out, if you're looking for a great WordPress hosting partner that provides much, much more than just great hosting support, a suite of plugins that would cost you at least $3,000 to $4,000, plus a lot of other features, all included in a competitive price, go over to WP Tonic, and that's wp-tonic.com, and have a look at what we've got to offer. We'd love you to look at WordPress as your platform to build your successful membership website, your community website on, and we'd love to be your partner. So let's go into it, the platforms. So I did a bit of a dive on this, Spencer, over a couple of evenings listening to various sources. And the world of podcasting platforms has got even more competitive. And there's a lot of choice there. So let's start off with a couple of big hitters. Well, there's some newcomers, there's some big hitters. So let's start with Buzzsprout. I think what they're offering is great, actually, when it comes to interface and the suite of functionality that they've got. They've got the pricing is quite attractive. Their free plan isn't bad. If you're getting going and your podcasts aren't too long, mine are very long-winded and very long. So because they go by, they have time barriers. If you go like 3 hours, you on a certain level, you got to go up to the next level. So there is the way they do the pricing is the length of podcasts you utilize during the month. That's how, for me, that wouldn't be particularly attractive. So any thoughts of Buzzsprout?
Well, I mean, I think what we're talking about with these is like you need the tools to create and add supplemental materials and to publish. And I think that's essentially what's happening. Now, this one seems to have some monetization, I believe, is one of the features, right? So that's another issue, too. I'm not saying it's necessary, but a lot of people actually have like a paid version of it. I don't see it. And hold on. I want to double check. Recurring support. I think that's what they're talking about. Like, essentially, you can incentivize them to support you by paying money, which is actually useful. So, I mean, these are the things that if you put them all in a box, it's worthwhile versus doing it a la carte. And the pricing is, you know, it's great because it's free for 2 hours, $12 a month for 3 hours. And if you're doing it for a business purpose and you're ultimately leading people to your product or service, that's nominal. Even if you go with the pro stuff, like 24 a month, I mean, that's a price of doing business for anybody.
Yeah, they've got a lot of, they've got a product that helps you with the audio quality. You've got to have a certain level of plan to have access to that. You can put chat, I'm going by my memory here, you can put chapters in so you can, it will edit the podcast into chapters. It's got a load of functionality. It's got a really nice interface. For my particular circumstance, it doesn't totally appeal to me. But if I was looking to change, it would be in the top of my list, put it that way.
Yeah.
Right. On to a older player, one of the founders, has a very large community, which is Podbean. I think it's got about... the sources that when I was doing my dive into this subject were saying that they had over 400,000 users. I think that one of the things you've got to keep in mind, folks, is that all the episodes I do, I actually keep a copy myself and I store it on an old Drobo that I've got, which is a Ray setup. And I keep a copy because you've got to be reasonably fussy about which platform you're going to choose, because you don't, if you're not keeping backups, and I suggest that you should, folks, of all your podcasts, is if your podcasting platform suddenly goes out of business, you're going to have to, you might be in trouble. And it can always happen, you know, businesses fail, some businesses fail. Podbean has a long track record. I think it offers really, the free plan is really attractive. I don't think in interface and the suite of services they offer, it's at the same standard as Buzzsprout. That's just my opinion.
I mean, I noticed you have to go, by the way, up to the $79 a month or $99 a month monthly to get rid of their branding. That seems
yes.
odd.
Yes.
That's quite expensive considering...
Yeah.
Right. Like that should be lower priced, if you ask me.
Yeah. Thanks for pointing out. I forgot about that. Thanks for that. That is another problem with it. I think in this much more competitive sector, that's a drawback. So I think they're very credible, but it wouldn't be on the top of my list, folks, to be honest with you, right? At the end of this, I'm going to give you one or two choices and ask Spence to give a couple of one or two choices that he, the winner and the runner-up of this list. Let's go on to the next one, Castos. I utilize Castos. It's a pretty slick platform. I've got a be transparent. The founder was a major sponsor of my other podcast for a couple of years. I really like it. It's got a number of tools. It's got it has this thing called private podcasting, which is for internal or it's attractive to a membership site, actually. If you're going to do a podcast that's only available to the of your membership in your membership website. So it has that feature. When it comes to some of the other platforms, and Spencer mentioned this, some of the other platforms have ways of can make your affiliate income, which is what Buzzsprout offers, a kind of affiliate platform. Others give you, they've already got advertisers, a couple of the others that we're going to be discussing, they've already got advertisers, and if you reach a certain level download, they can send you advertisers to you instead of you having to approach or advertisers approach you. I don't think Castos have been that proactive in that side. I think one of the other great strengths of Castos is that Castos has the leading WordPress plugin that integrates podcasting into your WordPress website. And it's been, it was one of the factors that led to the growth of Castos having this plugin. So what's your thoughts in general about Castos?
I mean, this reminds me more like of a Zillow, not a Zillow, sorry, like a Vimeo or a Wistia. You know, they offer audio, video, you can do private subscribers, you can do, I'm not sure why it's capped at 200,000 downloads, but that's just the market that they put together. You then have to go from pro up to obviously premium, which is, you know, serious stuff, $500 a month. Yeah. But at $99 a month, I mean, you do get something that theoretically could do double duty, because the cost of getting rid of video file hosting might be useful to your purpose, whether it be for your video podcast or whether it be for like supplemental stuff that you're offering, like some, let's say you have coursework and WordPress. I'm not sure because I've never actually tried it, but I presume that one can take the video files and embed them privately yeah. and so forth. But the bottom line is it's a more comprehensive package, priced slightly different, but professional. You know, like this is one that gives me the feeling like they're going nowhere fast. And like I suggested, this, you know, it's not impossible if you keep your originals. I encourage everybody to keep their original stuff. But like once you built up a legacy of 100 shows, you don't want to like republish stuff.
No. The founder's a really sharp entrepreneur. My understanding from other sources that he's built it up to a seven-figure business. In the end, he's going to sell it. Probably not in the next couple of years unless he's forced to. I think it's highly profitable. I don't think he has to. He hasn't told me that. I'm just getting that from other sources. So I don't think it's going away unless he hits the bottle. Roman, he doesn't strike me as somebody that would do that. It's more aimed at the professional, somebody like myself that's really big into podcasting, but it does have this integration through this plugin. But to be truthful, if you're just trying it out, or you're not as committed to podcasting as I am, you might be better off looking at one of the other platforms. It swings and roundabouts. On to another one that kind of is in this kind of quasar professional, somebody that's really committed to podcasting, is Transistor. Love the name, actually. Castos has a really polished interface. It's really easy to use. But when I looked at, when I did my dive, Transistor has one of the most polished UX interface designs of this list, actually, Spencer, in my opinion. Sure. It's not on the cheaper end, though. But it's kind of, I feel it's kind of pitched at the more professional, somebody that's really committed to podcasting. What's your thoughts on this one, Spencer?
Well, I mean, I think when you look at the array of features, like, for example, this one for $99 gives you 3,000 private subscribers and 250,000 monthly downloads. And I don't see video here separately, but it says that you can auto post to YouTube. So like there's a matrix of stuff. This is primarily audio, but it does allow you to do, like, I'm presuming, clips and previews. But so, you know, there's a difference between this and Castos. They do feel very professional as well, and the interface is lovely. I think this goes back to, like, the soda pop aisle of, you know, LMSs, like Lifter versus LearnDash. Like, try them, see which one fits, because there's not right and wrong, and there's a slight difference in the features, just slightly, for the price. None of them are really off base. Like, this one is $99 a month, 14-day free trial. And then the next level up, Enterprise, is only $199. It's not $499.
Yeah. That's what the Castos pricing, when you get this into the higher level, I think is off track a bit.
It sounds like a big leap.
It does a little bit. I think with laser focus, like that. Tomahawk missile, you focus into the major problems. On to a granddaddy of podcasting, Lipson. I started off with Lipson. Very credible company. I know they have done, when I was utilizing it, when I left it to Castos, it had a very cranky UX interface design. It was ridiculous. I know they did an update. Unfortunately, I still think, even with the update of interface, it's still a bit clunky, to say the least. The pricing structures are extensive, but I think this is going to be slightly controversial. I think the $5 plan is a little bit misleading. You soon run out. I think you would be better off looking at one of the other platforms that offers a free solution. They bought another company, I forgot its name, that was in podcasting advertising, finding advertisers for podcasts. Mm-hmm. And they've combined this other company, and they've combined the two. So they're pitching, because of their historic customer base, because they're, like I say, they're one of the founders of podcast hosting.
Yeah, it was like the only game in town for a while.
Yeah. They've combined, and so they've got extensive historic, because moving established, it's a bit like a membership website. That's why if getting really building a lot of courses on something like Kajabi or some other quite expensive platform, that they will try and make it as well. They don't give you any help to get off. They're not going to. So that's the beauty of WordPress with a membership website. If you get fed up with a vendor, you quite easily or reasonably easy, you can move somewhere else. And the same thing with podcasting. You know, if you've got hundreds and hundreds of podcasts on a podcasting hosting platform, it's not the most easiest thing. Castos really helped out because I had hundreds of podcasts and Castos went out of their way to help me, just like at WP Tonic, we will help you get out of the clutches of a SaaS platform onto us. We bend that backwards to try and assist you as much as possible. That's what Castos did when helping me move from Lips, and I just got fed up with it. The costs were getting it slightly out of hand for a niche posh podcast. And I just think the interface is UX interface is beyond. There's better choices. What do you feel, Spencer?
Yeah, I mean, you know, this is like it's the thing, like the granddaddy or the first mover advantage. They have a book of business, I'm sure, that doesn't require them to change, and they're not going to be completely disrupted by other competitors. But absolutely, I don't feel like this is the best game in town. I mean, this feels very archaic and sort of complicated to be frank, compared to some of the other ones. If I was coming in new, I would go for one of the ones we just mentioned and just call it a day. Like, remember, I don't want to give David McCann a hard time, but a couple shows ago, you were like ranking on David McCann. He mentioned some video editing thing that was like from the dinosaur days, and you were all on his head. And I'm like,
was it me? Was it I?
He was commenting and he mentioned we were talking about video editing or something.
I remember it. I thought myself, oh boy.
Mentioned some tool that's like
from
my childhood.
It's a fantastic editing. If you're a semi pro or pro, it's a fantastic editor. But you know, if you want to spend like 6 months to a year of your life learning about it, good luck to you. We were talking about editors that was going to help somebody with a membership site not become a quasi professional video editor.
But to the point, you know, like that's what the Libsyn makes me feel like. It's perfectly fine, but it makes me feel like it's from a different era and a different tool set and a different feel. And I don't think I would be attracted to it if I was just starting out.
No, I wouldn't. A new player, a very interesting one, Speaker. I love the name. It's very appropriate, isn't it? They're a combination of what Libsyn's trying to do. They Pardon?
Spreaker.
Speaker. Whatever. All right. It's a combination of a more modern interface design, and they're trying to do some the things that Libsyn's doing. They provide possible sponsors, and they've got two levels, which also Libsyn offers. They've got a kind of automated. It's a bit like they're copying what YouTube. So YouTube, if you get to a certain level or you turn it on, YouTube will automatically put adverts into your video, and they can be enormously inappropriate and extremely annoying. Or you can find your, or they got, for the larger podcast, they will find individual sponsors, and they will be, like a dating website. They will find the right, the particular right podcast for the right sponsor, and that they will be a matchmaker. But they've also got an automated product, and so has Libsyn. Hopefully I was explaining that coherently. I think I did a reasonable job. But it also combines a really nice UX design. I wouldn't say it's the top in UX and usability, but it's certainly a lot better than Libsyn. What do you think about this one, Spencer?
I mean, I think they really should be known for the fact they're an advertising platform. So what you're doing is essentially you're using them because they're going to essentially offer your product. I presume the advertisers have a choice. That's an interesting question. It's not clear to me, but like you're on a platform where you could be potentially monetizing it without having to go out and find your own sponsors. That's it. I don't see anything else about this that's the purpose, which is fine because it's very clear to me. Yeah. Honestly, you know, it goes back to like our conversation, this show, other shows, things that I've done on podcasting, like even YouTube. There's people that become YouTubers. Let's use YouTube so as to not pick on this show or anything. Like there's people who become YouTubers with the goal of monetizing their membership, right? Like, or people who subscribe. There's others, especially in our space, who hopefully recognize like the most popular WordPress related person probably has maybe a couple hundred thousand subscribers on YouTube. Now in the day, that might have been unbelievably awesome. But in YouTube, like there are people that have 50 to 100.
Yeah, but this is the one thing that I disagree with you on, because I understand where you're coming from, but it's a niche area. And having, you know, in the broader scope of things, yes, you're totally correct. But in a niche area, having a small, in the bigger picture, having a small audience, but it's still extremely influential and important in your niche.
Yeah, but I agree with you, but that's why I want to close the loop on this, why I'm getting to this. So it would be a mistake for somebody who talks about a niche type of content like WordPress to look at YouTube for the monetization purpose, like a Mr. Beast or like a kid who builds Lego toys, because those people are like, I love all these channels, but there's like ASMR massage.
I can tell you've been watching a lot of Mr. Beast.
I mean, there's other channels. I mean, but I have lots of esoteric tastes. Like while I was suffering through this back thing, I was listening to this guy called the Hoof GP. It's a guy in Scotland who literally goes.
Yeah, I watched some of that. It's ridiculous.
He trims cows.
I'm thinking of changing careers myself to hoof cutter.
But okay, so my point is, like, I'm listening to this guy. I'm on my back. I'm like in agony for at least the first 7 days. Couldn't even.
I'm
sleep.
In agony, Jonathan. Fucker.
He's talking with the Scottish accent, and he's hilarious. And it just took my mind.
You're
for a moment.
You're so horrible to me, Jonathan. You're such a bastard, Jonathan.
The point is, so somebody like that could monetize on YouTube, because like if you had, he has 1.5 million listeners. I mean, what are people listening or watching? A guy who was trimming cow's hoofs.
Well, compared to American television, it's a lot more entertaining.
The point is, that's a livelihood. Now, could a WordPress person make a livelihood on YouTube? Maybe, 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 but very unlikely. It's more important to go back to why put stuff in a podcast, why put stuff into YouTube. Like I started the show, it's because you have something else to deliver that you use the content to attract an audience around, and then you drive them into your sales funnel for the other stuff you do. That is really valuable, and it doesn't need a lot of people. Like, for example,
especially if you're looking for a quality hosting provider for your membership website.
Whatever. But I'm saying, like, I have several YouTube channels. Well, my biggest is historical, maybe 6,000 to 7,000.
You've got to be proud of me, Spencer. I'm a very slow learner, but I do get there in the end, don't I?
I mean, you are getting. We've talked about this topic. I'm just saying, like, you can have 120 views on a video.
It's a shame I couldn't have learned this 10 years ago or 20 years ago.
Well, it's a different world. And 10 years ago, we were doing different.
On to the next one. Captivate. Love the name. It's a newer player. Off my dive, I've run out of time, but it does seem to have a lot of options. Nice interface. Starts off as some, you know, there's, you know, if you're starting out, there's probably cheaper solutions to get going. Not focus like Lipson and Spreaker, whatever the area you pronounce. I said speakers, but Spencer's right. Spreaker or whatever. Not focused on the advertising revenue. It's more similar to the previous ones we discussed. But it's a newer player. Go and have a look at it. You got any thoughts on this, or should I go on to the last thing and then we can wrap it up?
You know, they're all relatively the same. This one, the Captivate, is not, there's nothing distinctive about it. I mean, the Spreaker had the monetization platform.
Yeah, speaker. On to the last one.
Blueberry.
Blueberry. Yeah, horrible name. Blueberry. What a terrible name.
I feel like, thank you. Yes. Because no offense to whoever came up with this, but like, you've ever heard of Fiverr? Like, and then there's also another one that I forget the name of now. And they put like three R's together. It was like something with, help me out. What's the name? Like, if you have created visual content as a graphic artist, you could put it up on that site and you'd be found. I can't think of it right now. But this idea of putting multiple consonants together is just so stupid. It's just,
oh, thank you. As a dyslexic, it's a nightmare. It's like it's one of the granddaddies had. They offered a really extensive plugin for WordPress. One of its drivers was you could set up your podcast in WordPress. It was an ugly interface, to be truthful. It's a well-established player like Lipson. I just think it's dated now. I've got to be frank about it. There's just better. Choices in the field, a very crowded field. What, just to finish off, what do you think about them?
I hadn't thought about them, honestly. I mean, I don't want to minimize them and pick on them, but like, I just had not. I would not have.
Well, you normally pick on me, so
I'm just saying. Like, there's probably you could come up with dozens and dozens of like second and third tier stuff. I just never would have gotten to these guys. I would have picked one of the other bigger ones or special.
This roll the drum. So, what's your runner-up and which one would you choose if you were in podcasting, Spencer?
I mean, if I was looking to specifically monetize, I would probably go with that Spreaker. Otherwise, I would probably just jump towards Costos. I mean, the Costos isn't the sexiest, but it's definitely the most functional and the most professional that, in my experience. The other ones are clever and they have a nice interface like Transistor and so forth, but it's audio. You know what I mean? Like, you're not, who cares? Once you make it, it's the interface to get it online, and that's all that matters. Somebody's going to get it from downloading on one of the players. That's it.
Yeah. No, mine, I'm slightly different. If you're starting out and you're not sure of your total commitment to, but you want a nice platform, something that you could build out, I would look at Buzzsprout to get started and make your decision, because I think the interface and some of the things they offer and the pricing, right? I think if you're starting doing longer podcasting and you're getting a bit more serious into it, I would look at Castos. The founder can send his check to me because he can afford it. But he probably won't. But if you're listening to this, I did throw you a bone, mate.
Can we pause for a second on a concept? Yeah. I want to use the reference that I talk about when I'm saying, like, with WP Launch Kit, with starting a website versus using a platform. There may be some truth to, like, oh, if I just want to experiment today, let me try for free one of these free things. But like, that free plan expires in 90 days. Truth be told, the low end of Costos is $19. The low end of the other one is $9. Like, get over yourself. If you really are going to make a go of this, you don't want to move your shit even once. So don't
you're absolutely right, but unfortunately people are cheap.
But I'm saying, don't be cheap. Just go to Costos, pay the $19, and you get a 14-day trial. But just, you don't want to pack up your bags and leave after 90 days. Like,
yeah, it's not, fair enough. Spencer, how can people find out more about you, about your services?
You can find me at a bar at 8 o'clock in the morning.
He's in a better mood than he was last week. So how can people find out more about Launch Flows, which is fantastic, and your other services and consultations, Spencer? Yeah.
Thank you. Yes. My main business is currently at wplaunchify.com. I have a hub of all my content of production and so forth across these at spencerforman.com. That's F-O-R-M-A-N. And I, on all my social media, it's at Spencer Forman. So you can find me in any of those places. 2023 for me is WordPress as a service, delivered either as hourly help with the kit, the traditional, like, acquire me for a time certain, or coming back to now that we've I want to say like this. Now that WordPress has all the pieces I need, I'm going back to making DIY coursework for the same thing, because there was a time when everything was changing so fast that to make evergreen content was impossible. So that's it. So come to WPLaunchFi.com.
That's fantastic. And if please join us on the Membership Machine Facebook group. We've got an active group. I'm going to be doing a lot more work on that group to build it up. But we've still got a really nice community building there. Join us there. So, like, do you go to Facebook and search for the Membership Machine group page and join us there. Me and Spencer are more than happy to give you some advice on that group, in that group. So join us there. That would be fantastic. We will be back next week with another fantastic discussion and offering value to you looking to build your membership website for and build security for you and your family. We'll see you soon, folks. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Membership Machine Show. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes and leave a rating to support the show. Until next time.